We'll be in Luke 24 tonight.
I'm not going to take the time to read the whole passage to you. I may read a little bit as we go, but I want to just direct your attention. Verse 17. Luke chapter 24, verse number 17. If you're there, say amen or give me a good Baptist honk. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? God knows what we talk about. He knows what we think about. He knows to whom we talk and who we should be talking to. He knows our walk. He knows where we're at on this road of life. And He knows when you're sad. I've been preaching the past 6 weeks now, long before certain things actually transpired. The Lord laid this sermon series on my heart, Because He Lives. And I have gone through and showed you biblically some things that relate to the living Jesus in our lives today. Number one, because He lives, salvation is possible. Not only is it necessary, but it is possible because He is alive today. If He's dead, it wouldn't mean a thing. But if He's alive, it means everything. I said to you, because He lives, Scripture is powerful. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I said to you, because He lives, faith is commendable. This living by faith stuff, this trying to do what God wants us to do, this obedience and going through the trials and circumstances and situations of life God's way, and trying to walk by faith, and all this, faith is commendable because He lives. God sees it. We're living for Him. I said to you, because He lives, prayer is meaningful. God sees what you're going through, and He knows all the circumstances, and He wants us to talk with Him and to walk with Him and to have an ongoing measure of relation and fellowship and communion with Him. Because He lives, prayer is meaningful. I told you, because He lives, sin is conquerable. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm talking to you, believer. There is no weapon formed against you that shall be able to prosper. You are in the palm of God's hands, and greater is He that is in you than in he that is in the world. If you and I sin, it's because we choose to do what God doesn't want us to do. But you can have victory because He lives. Amen. Now today, I won't tell you, because He lives, sadness is beatable. You don't have to live a sad and dejected and depressed and deflected life. And I want to take this story, if I can, for the next few minutes, the Lord willing, and talk to you about this passage of Scripture, this story here. We go off and say there are many obstacles and challenges that you're going to face in the path of just being a Christian. Along the path, along the journey, there's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be challenges. And there's going to be some things that you wish that weren't there. But you're going to face them as a Christian, as a pilgrim passing through. But the greatest of all of these challenges and obstacles is in whether or not you believe in a living, victorious, saving, ruling Jesus. As Brother Stephen taught this morning in Sunday school, for the which cause I also suffer these things, the apostle said. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed against Him, against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. It is one thing to experience suffering. It is another thing to experience sadness. I would like to walk you through this story that we've looked at in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, with the hope to persuade you of this great encouraging truth that because He lives, sadness is truly beatable. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Picking up the reading in the 13th verse, you and I will get an understanding of what is really going on in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says this is when Jesus, having resurrected from the grave, we understand that Mary and Martha and the other ladies were the first to the tomb. Amen? They were the first ones there. They went to the tomb and they found the tomb was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. And there were angels there that said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is alive. Well, they got so excited about it. They were so just so celebrating of what was going on, and so much celebration. They ran back to the apostles, to the 11, to the apostles, and they told them, hey, he's not there. He's not in the tomb. And the apostles didn't believe it. They didn't believe it at all. You'd have thought an apostle, good night, he should be the one that had the faith. But no, they didn't have the faith. And they weren't doing what really they should have been doing. They weren't anything like the apostles that we know of them later on. And then we know that Peter and John, they took off running. They left and they went to the tomb and they found the tomb was rolled away, just like the women said. And then they saw the angels there. There's a couple of angels standing in white and told them that he's not here. He's alive. And I still think then there was some doubt, there was some disbelief, there was some discord in their own thinking. So they go back to the rest of the other apostles and they hide for fear of the Jews and fear and discouragement, I think, and confusion, disbelief, doubt, anxiety, and sadness. Where is Jesus? And they stood there and they waited there. And I think Jesus was probably a little bit disappointed that his apostles, the ones to whom he had counted on, the ones that should have been the strong, the ones that should have been the encouragers, the one that should have been the people that had the great faith in God and trusted in the Lord and been an encouragement to the others and the rest of the disciples in that upper room. But no, we don't see that. I think Jesus said, okay, if you're not going to listen to these, the angels, and you won't listen to the women, then I'm going to give some other people to get my apostles to the position, my disciples, to the point where they believe it. And so he goes and he meets this couple walking down the road. The Bible says in Luke 24:13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. So from the place where the apostles, which was in Jerusalem, the upper room, there was a distance of 7 miles approximately, where these two disciples left Jerusalem on this great Passover feast of the nation and the crucifixion of Christ and the burial of the 3 days. They now walking back home. 7 miles of a long trip home. I believe it was a husband and a wife, and I'll show why here in just a minute. They were believers. They were disciples. And they thought it was the end. They thought, man, this is the end of the Christian journey. There's no more hope. There's no more light. There's no more to be celebrated. I mean, they were sad. So the Bible says that when they were on their way to this town or village of Emmaus, they were talking together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now this is Jesus resurrected. This is the living Lord Jesus in this time. The Bible says, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't recognize this stranger that was speaking with them on this road home as they were walking. And the Bible says that he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger here in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? Are you just a stranger walking around here? Do you not know what's going on? This isn't just a little secret private issue. This is something, man, everybody knows about this very sad day today. Are you just a stranger here? Of course, I mean, imagine Jesus walking with these discouraged and saddened disciples. And they didn't know it was Jesus. The Bible says that he said what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto these two disciples in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now I want you to listen carefully as I try to give you some helps on this. How can you get victory over sadness in your life? The first thing I want you to write down or jot down or think about from this passage of Scripture, Jesus knows when we're sad and he knows the road that we're on. You and I, number one, we need to have honesty with the Lord along life's road. Honesty along the road. Honesty along the road. There are people today that could be helped by the wonderful grace and goodness of God when Jesus, maybe as a stranger, they don't realize that it be the Lord standing next to them. Maybe it's a husband and a wife, as we see perhaps in this, Cleopas and his wife, discouraged, and their arms are hanging and their shoulders leaning forward, and they're talking and discussing these things between themselves. And this divine stranger, praise God, steps beside them and begins to discuss with them and reasons with them as to why they're sad. Why are you so discouraged? What's the matter with you two? What is this discussion about? What are y'all talking about? Thank God tonight Jesus meddles in with our affairs and he listens to our bedside prayers and Jesus listens to our discussions that we have with our own hearts when we're driving down the road. God knows when you're sad, Christian. He knows when you feel slighted. He knows when your dreams feel dashed. He knows when all your hopes have seemingly expired. Thank God a divine stranger knows how to come up next beside us and ask us, why are you so sad? A lot of people could be helped along the road of life if they'd be honest with the Lord, but they won't talk to him. There's an old song we sing, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Don't ever underappreciate or undervalue or low esteem those quiet moments when God seemingly sits next to you in the car and he says, why do you feel the way that you feel? That's the opportunity for you to be honest with God. That's when you have an opportunity to pour your heart out before the Lord. My friend, God wants to speak with you on a daily basis. He wants to go with you down the 7-mile walk to Emmaus. He wants to be a friend that's sticking closer to you than a brother, my friend. But be honest with God when he comes by. What did they talk to him about? I believe when they started to open up their hearts, they didn't know who he was. But their hearts were so full and so heavy. Why? They were just willing to just share their burden with someone. I think they began to talk about the unfathomable betrayal and treachery of Judas Iscariot and his subsequent suicide that had taken place a few days before. Did you not know about that? Did you hear about that? I think they talked to the stranger about the evil plots and the guilt of the Sanhedrin and all the violence and injustice of the slapping of Jesus and the pulling out of his beard and the the fake and mock trial that they did to the Lord Jesus. I think they begin to expose all the injustice and the brutality in the Sanhedrin against Christ. And they said, "Didn't you hear about that?" I think they talked to this stranger as they were walking down the road quietly in the ravines and valleys of the dirt path, the weakness of Herod. I think they said about the political figure of Herod who had the ability to stop or to intervene or to change the course of direction, but ungodly men do ungodly things. And I think they begin to tell this stranger, "Didn't you hear about Herod and how he gave Barabbas over to be to be at the request of the people, but he crucified this Christ?" My friend, you cannot put your trust in politicians. You cannot put your trust in musicians. But you can put your trust in Jesus. Let me throw that in there right now. I think they said, "Didn't you know about that?" I think they would have talked to Jesus about this divine stranger. I think they would have told him about the mob who protested in great violence against Jesus. Jesus was handcuffed, and he was standing before the people naked, and he was offering himself as a lamb before his shearers as dove. And so he opened not his mouth, and they cast rocks at him, and they pulled and yanked on his beard until the hairs were pulled out. My friends, they beat and protested against somebody who was laying his life for their life. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus withstood it all, spitting on the Lord, begging Herod for the cross. "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" the mob shouted. "So are you just a stranger here in this town? I mean, this is all over the news. Hadn't you heard about this?" Some of y'all talk to Jesus like that. God knows everything, friend. He sees it all, and he knows it all. Nothing is new under the sun, Christian. And Jesus the whole time was standing there, walking with them down that dirt road of discouragement. And my friend, he was glad to do it. I want you to know, Christian, when you get sad and you get depressed and you get discouraged, those road talks with Jesus are sweet places to be. Just be honest with the Lord. The brutal fact that Jesus was publicly beaten and scourged nearly to the death and then hanged on a bloody cross as though he were some common malefactor. And then the death of Christ. Sir, do you not know what's going on in this town? The hopes that we had had, the dreams that we had, the visions that we had, the joy and the excitement that we had, the happiness that we had when he was with us. All this was moving towards some great and wonderful, some prophetic climax. And now it's all over. We had hoped that this Jesus would redeem the land of Israel. We had hoped that he was the Redeemer. Sometimes you and I talk, and it's fine as long as you're honest with God. There are times where you and I don't even realize when the Lord is sitting next to us. We think God is less than he is, but he doesn't take all that from us. He lets us go on and talk, and he lets us go on and doubt, and he lets us go on and feel sad. But my friend, you ought to take an opportunity when the Lord is walking down the road with you, when he's driving down your life road with you, when he's sitting in the car seat next to you, honey. You ought to be honest with him. And now, we hear this fairy tale story from some ladies. We always thought they were a little off their rocker. We always thought the old Christian ladies were a little hyper in their faith. They come back with a big story. The tomb's empty all of a sudden. We can't find Jesus. I'm telling you, the disciples hearing this story, they were sad. And they said, "Sir, you got to be kidding us. You don't know any of this stuff?" Lord, have mercy. How many times has the Lord come beside you on the road of life, and all he wants you to do is just to be honest with him? He just wants you to be honest with him. He just wants you to tell him, "Lord, I thought I was going to get this promotion, but they got it. Lord, I thought I was going to have this, but they got it. Lord, I thought you was all this, but you're not." God will listen, my friend. If you'll be honest with God, God will hear your call. He will talk with you and fellowship with you. He offers himself to you, but here's the problem. People stay sad because they reject the roadside visits that Jesus wants to give them. There's times in your Christian life when the Lord seems to be pulling right next to you on the road of life. He wants to talk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. There's an opportunity for you to be honest with God. But you bottle up, you act all hardcore, you think you got it all figured out. Well, I'm going to get myself saved on my own. Well, in my book, bless God, if you just do this and do that, you'll go to heaven. I'm not going to get rid of my sin, and I'm not going to repent and believe the gospel and be saved. My friend, you're rejecting the divine stranger, Jesus Christ. He knows more about you than you realize. The Bible says even the very hairs of your head are numbered. The Bible says that He knows how tall you are. Ladies, I got a secret for you. He knows how young or how old you are. And He knows how much you weigh. Father, I got a secret for you. He knows what you're looking at. He knows what you've been listening to. He knows that you've been trying to be friends with the devil and with sin today. I won't preach to you while I'm having church. I want you to know God loves you. God cares for you. God knows what you're going through. God's got a plan for your life, honey. When nobody else believes in you, God believes in you. When the devil tells you just to give up, give in. Don't be a Christian. Don't live for God. Don't be sold out. Just live like the world. God's saying, I love you. I gave myself for you. I'm not going to give up on you. I don't care how far down the road of maze you get, honey. God knows how to find you. God knows how to talk with you. Just be honest with God. Don't lie to God. Be honest with Him. Because He already knows everything going on anyhow. Don't take for granted those roadside talks with Jesus. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Number two, now this is just the beginning of the story. They begin to pour their heart out to the Lord. Then the Lord says, okay, y'all talked enough, now hush up. Then He begins to open up all the scriptures to them. He began to show all the way from Moses, through the law, and through the prophets, and through the Psalms. He began to explain to them. And they had no idea who was talking with them. He began to open up the Bible, and they began to walk step after step, mile after mile, as they got close to their home in Emmaus. He began to open up the Bible and show them things pertaining to the Redeemer. He began to show them great and mighty things about the light. He began to show them great and mighty things about salvation. He began to show them the great prophecies relating to the death and the burial and the glorious resurrection of the Messiah. And their hearts began to burn. Brother, they began to get excited again. Something began to stir in their hearts. And then they started to get right down their driveway. The Bible says that they got to their house and Jesus was going to keep walking. The Bible says their hearts begin to get stirred. They begin to get fired up again when He started to open the Bible, as it were, and He began to speak to them of the things of the Bible. Their faith began to get strong again. That tree of life began to grow again. Hallelujah to God. But as they got to their street corner, Jesus, the Bible says, would have passed on. They did something that most people don't know how to do. The Bible says, and they constrained Him to come inside their house. The Bible says that when Jesus was going to keep going. Now, I think that's interesting. Isn't there a song that says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. God will walk with you down the road. But are you going to let God come into your house? Hey, my friend, it's one thing to walk down the road and talk with Jesus. It's something altogether to let Him come inside the house. My friends, they constrained Him. They said, no, please don't go. We've had such a good talk. Man, we're getting encouraged. Won't you come inside the house and fellowship a little longer with us? We're about ready to set some coffee onto the coffee pot. Amen. We're about ready to break some bread and drink some tea. Won't you come in and fellowship with us a little longer and tell us the good old story of Christ again? Jesus said, okay. They went into the house. The Bible says he sat at the table. They sat at the table, and it was time to break the bread. When you broke the bread in the house, you'd offer a prayer, you'd speak a little bit, you'd give God the glory. That's why when we eat, we pray before we eat. Jesus did that. He would acknowledge God as the giver of life and the provider of the food. And as he began to break that bread, praise God, something happened. The Bible says, and they knew it was Jesus when he broke that bread. Now, I don't know if it was because of the manner in which he did it. They had seen him break bread before them many, many times. They had seen him feed the 5,000. They had watched him feed them on the shore before. And there was a unique way that the Lord Jesus would pray and acknowledge God and give to others. And that maybe that's what revealed who it was. Maybe that's what it was. But I like to think as he began to use his hands, and he began to use his hands to minister to even the weakling disciples as these two were, Mr. Cleopas and his dear wife in this home. I think they saw the piercings in his hand, and they realized who was walking with them down that road. They realized who was in their home at this late hour. And my friend, he vanished out of their sight. It's one thing to walk and talk with Jesus down the road, but it's something else when you say, Jesus, come home with me. Lord, it's been a wonderful walk down this difficult road. It's been depressing. I'm sorry to have to leave the church. I'm sad. I'm discouraged. I don't have hope. I'm not living in victory. I'm leaving Jerusalem. I'm leaving the apostles. Why, they're just a bunch of doubters anyway. They're cowards. They're living in fear. I'm going home. I'm going fishing. I'm getting out of this Christian thing. I think it's all over. But when God starts to talk with you on the road, something about God's Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart. It's one thing to be honest on the road of life, and it's another thing to let Jesus come into your home. Jesus, be happy to come in your home. Why? When Jesus is in there, the joy of the Lord's there. He wants to come in there and sanctify that place. He wants to make it a place where His presence can be. God wants to live there. It's one thing to go and get religion outside, but why don't you get religion at the table? How come you don't sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins? When's the last time you felt God's presence inside the house? When's the last time you prayed to Jesus inside the house? When's the last time you lifted up your voice and acknowledged Him inside the house? My friend, I know you get sad, and I know you get discouraged, but I'm just telling you a couple of things right now. Number one, be honest with God in the road of life as God speaks to you and walks with you from time to time. But don't stop there. Let Him come inside the house and let Him fellowship with you and let Him be real to you at the kitchen table. Talking throughout the day is hard. Sometimes the days are busy on the road of life. The road is busy. But talking to Jesus in privacy is much better. God gives us home so that He might sanctify it with His presence, so He can stay there with us, to break our bread for us. It was there when they began to break bread that they looked at Him and said, "This is the bread of life." It was then when Jesus began to show them the light of His Word. When He got in the house, they began to see, oh, that is the light. It was there when He began to speak to them the wonderful words of life. But when they got home and He began to break the bread, it wasn't just them listening to words of life. They saw the piercings in His hands, and they said, behold, it is the Word of life. Some amazing things can happen, friend, at church. But they can happen in the house as well, if you let Him come in. Our time is being demanded from our kids, our spouses, our jobs. We're focused on our health, our business, our finances, our church, our ministry. Road talk is good, but sometimes the road gets busy. Make sure you make time for Jesus at home. And the third thing I want you to know is this. The disciples, when Jesus vanished out of their sight, He had done what He wanted to do. He encouraged them. He spoke to them. He revealed Himself to them. They weren't good. They couldn't go to sleep now. There's no way they're going back to sleep now. They're not going to bed now. They just had a long walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's no. Mr. Cleopas and Mrs. Cleopas was not going to sleep. The Bible says that they got up. They ran as quickly and walked as quickly and hurriedly as they possibly could, all the way back to Jerusalem, because there was 11 apostles, supposed to be some great, mighty faith movers and faith shakers, amen. Here they were, hot for fear, living in doubt, disbelieving the testimony of the women who had saw the empty tomb. The Bible says that they were in this upper room. They were in this upper room with the apostles and the other disciples that were there. And my friends, that these two disciples, Cleopas and his wife, when they had this encounter with the risen Lord, the Bible says that they went back to Jerusalem, walked that 7 or 8 mile journey back, and they went into the room and they said, "Guys, I want you to listen to what we just saw. We saw Jesus alive and well. I know you don't believe in a lot of miracles, and I know you've had some troubles in doubting God. I know you've been discouraged a time or two. I know y'all are sad. I've been there. I've walked those streets. I know what it feels like to get discouraged. But we just walked 13 miles today, Peter. You need to listen to what we had experienced. He is alive and well. Jesus is not dead. The tomb is empty. He has gone to heaven to prepare a place for me. There's hope in this life because he's alive and well." Well, I think Peter and Thomas, they started to get a little beside themselves. But the Bible teaches us during that time there were other people coming in. Peter comes in the room and says, "Guys, I just saw Jesus." And so all these people are coming into this upper room, apostles, disciples, and they're all coming, man. It's getting exciting. It's like going to church. And they're getting excited about this news and this celebration that the clouds have passed away. Sadness has been defeated. Death has no victory. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Guess who decided to come into the room? Help me out, church. Jesus. This is where Jesus comes into the room, Brother Philip. And they were all ghostly. And what happened? He said, "Don't be afraid. It is I." And Thomas was called up. "I ain't going to believe. I'm going to be sad, depressed, and dejected. I am not going to believe it. Unless I see his hands and his side." So guess what Thomas volunteered to do? Involuntarily. Jesus said, "Where's Brother Thomas? Thomas, come here. Come here, Thomas." And we know the story. He's touched his hands. He thrust his hand into his side. So he saw firsthand witness that he was alive. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for you have seen and believed. But blessed are those of us today who have not seen and yet believe." That's what he said. We know the story. From that point forward, the world has been turned upside down. The disciples and the apostles became the great apostles of the faith after they saw the risen Lord. Their sadness had passed, and the light had broke upon them. The defeat was over. Now they were thrust into a level of victory. Their depression and anxiety and worries and even fears had all passed away. He that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My friend, if the Lord wants to call me to heaven right now, he can take me home. I'm ready to go. I know in whom I have believed, Brother Stephen, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I have committed unto him, which is my soul, against that day. I'm sorry, church, I'm having a good time. Rain or shine, I'm ready to go. Because I'm not sad. I'm not sad today. I'm not shy today. I'm not this road to Emmaus that we get on sometimes. Well, we're heading home, and I know it gets tough. I know it gets busy. I know there's things that we have to do. We have to do. We have to do. We have to do. But let me tell you something. If you're putting your faith and your trust in politicians, you're going to be let down. If you're putting your faith and trust in money, money's going to let you down. If you're putting your faith and trust in a perceived dream fantasy relationship, that dream and fantasy is going to let you down. But I can show you through an empty tomb. I can take you through a garden 2,000 years ago where the light seemed to be snuffed out forever. But the bride and morning star rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Christian, you can have joy in your life today because Jesus is alive. That's where you need to place your faith. That's where you need to place your confidence. That's where you need to place your victory. Not in these little things of this life, but in the great things of this life. In Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Father, we do thank you for this service. We thank you for the fact that the tomb is empty, that because you live, sadness is beatable. There's people today, dear Lord, that are going through very difficult times, Lord. Maybe like the children of Israel. They seem like they're being chased by the world and the enemies. Then they got the rock behind them that they can't go because of the mountains in the way. And all they got is water in front of them. Lord, just give them faith that you can even open up the waters, Lord, that you can make a path for us to go on dry ground. Dear Father, we ask that you'd help us, Lord, not to be discouraged, not to get distracted, not to be in turmoil because of what we see on the news, but God, to always go back to the real news, to the Word of God as our basis and as our foundation in this life. Lord, help us to have that victory that you promised us in your Word. Lord, we pray you'd meet everyone's need and keep us all safe and help us, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, wherein is joy and love and peace. We ask these things in faith.